Call to order municipality, the District of St. Mary's Committee of the Whole Meeting. Today is Wednesday, January 6, 2026, and it is 5:05 PM. And if you'll call, please.
Deputy Fuller?
Here.
Deputy Warden Malloy?
Here.
Counselor Beaver?
Here.
Counselor O'Connell?
Here.
Counselor Tippo?
Here.
Also in chambers tonight, we have CAO Leslie McFarland, Director of Finance and Treasurer, Marion Fraser, Municipal Clerk Janelle Fleet, and Teddy Stevens, our Director of Public Works. Before you have the agenda, I do have two additional items I would like to add to the agenda. It would be under seven, other matters of business. 7E, the Port Bickerton Beach request from Saltscape, or the Saltscapes, which you all received by email. And then 7F, the planning, the assessment for the IAAC, the planning assessments. There's been additions to the agenda. But I ask for approval of the agenda as amended.
I'll make that motion.
Second. Counselor Tippo, seconded by Counselor O'Connell. All those in favor?
Aye.
The cap, the agenda is approved as amended. Before you have the minutes of the Committee of the Whole Meeting held Wednesday, June 3rd, 2026. Are there any errors or omissions? Errors or omissions? Hearing none, those minutes are approved. So now we will go down to number six, a business arising from those minutes.
That's what you are, let me.
I'll just note that a couple of items were included.
Sorry. I found this under the, just ignore that.
We had the Lieutenant Governor here, so we had to put away a few items of importance for photo opportunities, so apologies. So that the record would be complete, we did include the letter about the cell service because it wasn't in the package. It wasn't in the publicly available package previously, so it's included here as part of the minutes. And we also included a copy of the letter that was sent to Sherbrooke Village because, again, it was an added item and it wasn't included in the publicly available package. So it's just included with the minutes so that it's for the public record, it's available. And that's really the only two items for business arising that we wanted to bring to everyone's attention.
And in that vein, I really would like to commend Counselor O'Connell for all the work that he put in for the visit from the Lieutenant Governor. It was a very busy day. There were a lot of activities, and it was obvious that there was a lot of work put into the planning and execution of his visit. So thank you, Counselor O'Connell.
Thank you, Warden.
Lovely.
And I would just like to make a similar comment to Citizen Neil Black, who was equally involved in the project as well. Thank you.
It was a great day. I mean, it was a busy day for the man. And seemed to it at the end of it, he was still happy to be here.
Yeah, wanted to come back.
I want to come back. That being said, let's go to other matters of business. A staff report, which you all have in front of you, about the Community Heroes Appreciation Event.
Thanks, Warden. I'm going to speak to this on behalf of our Director of Recreation and Community Development. She is at the first day of summer programming, so she's not able to be here tonight. But she wanted to bring an update on this event, which is going to be the first year we're going to be having this new event. So back in March, Council approved a motion to combine the volunteer appreciation event with the first responder event and the healthcare event into the one big event. Date indicated in here is November 10th. We're confirming the location, and it's a little ways out. But the reason we wanted to bring this forward tonight is just to get agreement and direction from council regarding the award categories, the nomination process, and the number of awards per category, because this is the first time we're doing one bigger event. And we wanted to make sure it's going to be workable. It's going to make sense for the community. It's not going to be too long of a process of giving out awards, so that it will be a pleasant and positive experience for everyone, and that the awards will be meaningful. And yet, you know, like, it's a balance, right? So essentially what we did in the past is we sent nomination forms to the 13 organizations, which is, they're listed here, but like fire departments, EHS, et cetera. I won't list them all. And they were to nominate first responders in the categories of valor and outstanding service, and also to tell us who had got the 10, 20, 30, 40, et cetera, years of service. And then volunteer of the year was selected by council from public nominations. And then the healthcare, we didn't typically have that event in the past. So what we're proposing to do this year is in that table on the third page of the staff report, again, we would propose to do 10-year increment service pins for first responders as reported by those organizations that I just talked about, as well as healthcare organizations. There's four healthcare organizations that represent healthcare folks, like, for example, the hospital, the nursing home, but then there's like home care and home aid as well. So those would let us know who has reached any of the 10-year increments of their service, and those would get the pins. We would do the same as in the past with the Valor and Outstanding Service Awards for first responders. Again, those would be nominated by those organizations. But what we'd like to propose is that they have a maximum of 3 total nominations per organization. So I'm just going to say, in a given fire department, for example, could nominate a total of 3 for the Valor or the Outstanding Service. So it could be 3 Valor or 3 Outstanding Service or 2 and 1. But a total of 3. And so it does mean that they will have to be more, I guess, judicious in selecting the names that they may have not in the past. In the past, some had up to 18, which if we did that for 13 organizations and then have the other events as well, it would be hours and hours and hours of giving out awards, which I don't think is optimal. And this way, they get to recognize different people each year and sort of, you know, ensure that the awards are very meaningful. And they can do it whichever way they like within those 2 categories, but a total of maximum per organization of the 13 organizations of 3 of those awards is what we're proposing. And then similarly, for the healthcare organizations, again, there's 4 of them, they would be able to do categories would be outstanding service as well, but the other we suggested would be leadership or mentoring as opposed to valor, because again, it's a little different. And so each of those 4 organizations could nominate a total of 3. Again, it could be all 3 from one or the other category, or it could be 2 and 1. And then the volunteer of the year, of course, council has already selected. I can't remember exactly, but the date is in here. And that award would be given out that evening as well. So that's really, that culminates in a recommendation that if council's comfortable with that, then we'll continue on with the planning accordingly. And we'll, like, a lot of this will be nominated by the organizations, but we would just give them those parameters around that. And 3 was just a number that was, selected based on, we didn't want to just have it 2, like, it gives them a little more flexibility. And again, every year we'll have these awards again, so they'll be able to have another 3 each year. In the past, some didn't have any, and others had, like I say, 10 or 18. And so it was really a widely varying number. So this is what we're proposing for our council to consider and provide us with direction on. So we have a proposed motion there.
Any questions for Wesley? Looks good. So she's looking for a recommendation. The council approved the proposed Community Heroes Appreciation Event award categories, nomination process, and the number of awards per category to be outlined in this report. Anybody care to move?
I will.
Councilor Beaver.
I'll second.
Deputy Warden Malloy, all those in favor?
Aye.
It's a very good evening, and we've expanded how many people are eligible. I think it'll be a good night. On November 10th, 6:30 to 9:30. Don't look it up, I looked.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, staff report, source water protection plan. City.
The municipal source water protection plan was first developed in 2006. This document is required to be updated yearly to follow the Department of Environment Climate Change regulations. The purpose of this report is to recommend the appointment of a council as both a member and the chair of the Source Water Protection Committee. The committee plays an important role in supporting the protection and sustainability management of municipal drinking water sources. Council recommended representation on the committee provides a direct link between committee activities and council priorities, ensuring effective communication and governance oversight. In June of 2023, the municipality adopted the Source Water Protection Advisory Committee policy, establishing the committee responsible for ongoing review and advice on the source water protection. The committee's responsibility include reviewing source water protection plans, monitoring implementation activities, identifying emerging risks, and providing recommendations to council as required. The committee was convened in 2023 and work began updating the plan. However, the revised plan has not been completed and still needs to be approved by council and submitted to the province. The source water protection is a key component of ensuring safe and sustainable drinking water for residents. Council representation strengthens communication between the committee and council and helps align committee recommendations and municipal objectives. The chair is responsible for leading meetings, ensuring committee business is conducted effectively, and serving as primary liaison between the committee and council. Appointing a council member as chair provides leadership, continuity, and demonstrates council commitment to protecting municipal water resources. As per the Source Water Protection Advisory Committee policy, committee members are appointed each year by council through an invitation and application process. In line with the policy, the municipality will advise for members of the public to fill the committee's two outside member vacancies and a local representative from the agricultural and forestry sector, as well as a technical representative from the Nova Scotia Department of Natural Resources and Renewables will be invited to join the committee. The Director of Public Works will be the technical representative from the municipal staff.
So we'd be looking for a council member to chair this committee. This has to deal with municipal water system, is that correct?
It's mostly around the source water, the Sherbrooke Lake and connecting water sources, waterways.
That being said, I'm going to kind of peek over to the council member who has a water utility and ask if you would be willing to serve in that capacity.
I will step. I will volunteer.
Thank you very much, Councilor Khan. The
chair.
And the chair.
Well, it goes with it.
Keep your chair there. I'll keep the chair here. The council, the recommendation of the council appoint Dane O'Connell as member and chair of the Source Water Protection Committee for the remainder of the current council term or until a successor is appointed by council. Have somebody move that recommendation.
I'll move.
Everyone.
Let's go with Councillor Debo and Councillor Beaver. All those in favor?
Aye.
Congratulations on your new chairmanship.
Looking forward to drinking good.
We actually all do. Okay, next item. I didn't even finish. The next item is the Rexplex drilled well. Is that you, Leslie?
This. I'll speak to this. It's really all of us have been working on this, and we talked about this at the June meeting as well. And of course, you know, we had a application in for the Rink Revitalization Grant funding, and we were hoping to put in a drilled well through that, but that was denied, and we found that out earlier this year. And it's, although council had approved going ahead with the drilled well, even without that grant funding, we learned in late May that there was a new project. It's the Sustainable Communities Challenge Fund that was accepting applications for various types of things that would be drought resilience. And so the submissions, the way they're doing it, they had to do a pre-screening, had to be submitted by June 25th. With full applications due July 23rd. And so we're working closely to determine how to proceed on this, as we had done a bunch more research since our application was denied, and we're trying to understand exactly what the best solution was. As you may recall, we had just proposed a drilled well with the previous solution, which would be great because it would ensure the RecPlex rec facility would be more drought resilient, but it really wouldn't provide other direct supports to the community. So what we've now proposed is that same water resiliency solution for the RecPlex, in other words, a drilled well, and also a public potable water filling station, which we had further discussion with Strait Engineering, who we have our RFP with for engineering services, about whether or not it should be down at near 16 Main. And their recommendation was that because if we need it and we're in water conservation, then we wouldn't be able to be letting it be used if it's on the water utility. So the proposal is that we would be putting it up at the RecPlex, which is still very accessible. And so that is the way we framed our submission. And because of tight timing, we went ahead and contracted with Strait to provide with us with engineering services to build that proposal and submit that by the June 25th deadline. And then the cost of that was $6,500. That includes about $2,000 of that was for the submission they've already done, but the remainder is for them to do a full submission. And I am pleased to say that we have heard back that our original pre-screening submission was approved, and we were approved to submit our full application by the July 23rd deadline. It's very significant. We'll be looking at it with them to see if we can reduce the scope, because a hydrological study was recommended and it becomes very, very, very expensive very quickly. So we're going to be refining scope with them. But at the moment, the good news is we have a submission in, and we would expect to hear back from the full submission by the fall, so we would know what we could go ahead with. And we can give further updates to council as we get more information as we're moving along. But because this is in excess of $6,000, I did make that decision as an emergency expenditure as per the CAO policy for an essential service. But because it's in excess of $6,000, the CAO policy requires us, of course, to report that expenditure to council for ratification at our next meeting, which is right now. So I will be asking here at this meeting for council to make a recommendation that will go to committee of the whole to make a recommendation that will go to council at the next meeting to ratify that expenditure of $6,500 plus HST to Strait Engineering for the professional fees to prepare the submission and provide the water resiliency as well as the public potable water filling station. And that is as noted here. So.
Leslie's made a recommendation. Is there somebody to move the recommendation?
To approve.
Councillor O'Connell.
Second.
And Councillor Reaver. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Money well spent.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And next is the additional sheets you have here with the Tourism Guysborough County. Oh no, Housing Accelerator Fund. watershed planning, sorry, I jumped ahead of myself. Keep talking.
So this is really just for information to council. One of our six initiatives under the Housing Accelerator Fund is this coastal and watershed planning with climate change mitigation and adaptation. And my understanding, I wasn't here at the time, but to obtain Housing Accelerator funding, we had to have a well-rounded solution that had a variety of different actions in it to support housing. And one of them was that we would do some actions relating to coastal and watershed planning with climate change mitigation and adaptation. And so there were three milestones in that initiative that were submitted as part of the application to get the Housing Accelerator Fund. They were that we would conduct a flood risk review, that we would do sea level rise mapping and community engagement, and we would do a flood risk action plan. So this is really just an update to council that we will be, we're leveraging our relationship with CLEAN to over the coming remainder of this fiscal year to do those three milestones. And we will be having inviting CLEAN to come in October to talk a little bit more about the plan. But they're going to be over the summer doing just reading through our municipal planning strategy and land use bylaw to understand whatever flood risks there are relating to the Eastern Shore floodline mapping project and how they can leverage that and any other resources. And then they'll be bringing us some recommendations so that we can look at what kind of community engagement plan may make sense. And then build an action plan, which doesn't mean we have to have anything actually completed by the end of March, but we do have to have the action plan ready to go. And it could be a multi-year action plan, but it's that we got to build the multi-year action plan to get started on these activities. So we would expect, I already have CLEAN lined up to come and speak to council in October to just communicate their findings and the plan and get council's inputs on that. And I'm happy to take any inputs that you might have today as well. This is really just an update on this because this is the probably single biggest action under our half that we haven't really done a lot on yet. The big spending initiative under the half is, of course, the West Side Water Distribution System replacement, which is working along well. Like, we have Strait doing the design, and they'll be providing that to us shortly, and hopefully we'll be issuing tender very shortly so that we'll be able to, you know, get that work started even maybe as early as this fall. So that's the big construction part, but this is the other remaining initiative that we need to complete so that we can achieve all of our half deliverables. It's really for information, but I'm happy to take any input or feedback from council.
Now, you have a copy of the letter that was sent to Leslie from Tourism of Goldsboro County asking for a motion of support.
Mm-hmm.
For Fort Pickerton Beach, and you read it. I think it would behoove us to have our logo along with Guy's Bros and the business association and everybody else down the bottom. It costs us our breath right now. So are there any questions you might have as far as this goes? And I personally, I think Tourism Guysborough County needs to pay a little more attention to St. Mary's. And this is a good step.
Yes. This was given to us also at the Tourism Association when they had their meeting here. And we were invited to that. This was part of the discussion, was the beach lighthouse. I think it's awesome.
Yes, it's good. I think it's a good idea, and part of that group and the planning committee on. We're also looking at a few others in this area, and the idea is kind of to, if you're a tourist and you're traveling down the eastern from Metro, that you'll be able to stop at these selected beaches strategically along the way, and, you know, coastal snap stations and whatnot. And, I think it's a great project.
I think it's a great idea. I think it'll be Yeah, I think it's a good little addition. We're gonna do anything at all, please.
Is there, can we have our logo put on it?
Yes.
They asked if we wanted it.
Oh, perfect.
I guess, just wanted council to know before they just saw a sign there and said, huh?
It's nice to also inform, maybe with the St. Mary's logo, I mean, if you're a tourist, you might think, oh, maybe I am in.
Not.
We're not in Capitol.
Yeah.
We're in St. Mary's.
Exactly.
Two different places.
I know it's only small, but still, I'm just.
Nope.
It is the subject of much confusion, but I did bump into a couple tourists from away this weekend, and yeah, they were hitting all the beaches. That's what they were doing.
Yeah.
So.
That's something.
Hit one of ours. About it, Leslie. Second, or the last, is is an issue, right? IAAC pertaining to 15-mile processing hub project. Did you all have a chance to read that? I don't know. You got a chance? I know you were.
I did.
Yourself.
I did agree.
Yeah, I'm good.
There's a suggested correspondence in there. Open this up for discussion.
I'll start. I think that the letter's well-written. It does a good job there. There's capturing what the municipality interests are. There's a one part that I would like to maybe make a small amendment to it, an additional item. At the end, in the concluding part, based on all the points, so this is what I'd like to add in that concluding part. Based on all the points raised above and for and the potential for interaction with federally managed species, we urge IAC to consider a formal federal assessment. Just other than that, I think it's very well written. That's it.
What did? A lot of thought came into how we can phrase them. Might be able to work something, but.
I worked hard to try to propose that this, because we haven't had a chance to do a lot of analysis and council hasn't been able to be privy to a lot of analysis presented to them for decision making on this topic, that the statement that's prepared is intended to be informative but not positional, in the sense of it's neither intending to approve nor reject the any position on the project, but to present information that has been arising for many years through different kinds of consultation around topics that are important to the municipality to ensure are considered as part of the next steps of the process. And the other thing, I'll just take the, while I'm talking, I'll just take a moment to just clarify in case anyone, what, you know, because this is coming very late to the agenda, obviously didn't get it ahead, that this is not the only, by any means, this is a very early step. This is the planning phase for impact assessment. And based on this, as Councillor Beaver did say, it will determine really which process follows. And even depending on which process follows, there are different permit approvals that would still happen at different levels as well. But the municipality will have the opportunity to provide much more fulsome response in the impact assessment phase proper. This is the planning phase for the impact assessment. So it's intended to be a initial, period of feedback, which is why this is only a page and a half. By no means does that represent all the municipality's concerns. And if you read the beautiful document that's provided there, and this is a short one, the 92 pager of the 257 page one, there are just a lot of different kinds of considerations that are there. So this is intended to be very much a summary of the kinds of things that I think are really important that the municipality ensures are reflected in the consideration when the impact assessment is done. Just like those topics, environmental protection, infrastructure, public safety, which includes roads, bridges, traffic volumes, etc., as well as economic and community benefits and the fact that there needs to be ongoing engagement. So I think, you know, trying to have a balanced perspective is really important. In the analysis that I've been able to do and the consultants that I've been able to connect with, the recommendation is that we would not make a position regarding which particular regulatory assessment process should be followed, as that could be interpreted as taking a position on the proposed project. And I recognize what you're saying, Councillor Beaver, but my recommendation is that we would avoid commenting on which regulatory assessment process council should be, you know, would be speaking to. If we speak to any given one, then that essentially is taking a position regarding the project. And my advice is that we should be doing quite a bit more analysis and bringing that forward to council before council would take a position on this project one way or another, other than simply citing the considerations that are important for the impact assessment to consider, which is what this paper currently does.
We don't even know who's going to do it yet. This is just so, this initial part is just so, and the longest paragraphs try to include species at risk and salmon and everything else in there. So it is a definite consideration.
Right.
I think we just don't know yet.
Right. And that's why we should ensure that we, you know, I think it's our due diligence and, you know, our responsibility to promote a federal assessment. I'll give you a few reasons why. One would be that all of the haul roads aren't included in the assessment. They would be included down the road in the assessment. So what happens in this process is there's five or six sections to a federal assessment. Boom, 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 boom. The first section of a federal assessment is to determine whether it continues on. If that's based on one of two things. That's based on the comments that are in there, and if there's a willingness to for the commenters or whoever is involved within the community to say that they would like to have a federal assessment. And it's based on the documents that the proponent submits. So those two things determine whether the assessment even continues. So if the assessment were not to continue on that fashion, then the roads would not be assessed in a federal jurisdiction. So I would say that it has nothing to do with the decision of whether you're for or against a mine. It's to do our own, as a community's due diligence to ensure that the best possible assessment is included for the process, especially when we speak jurisdictionally, because if it's provincial only, then we're leaving out the entire federal jurisdictional content and wouldn't be included. So I really do feel that council should add my recommendation for an amendment, so that this, you know, it doesn't happen just because we say it. We're only saying as a community, this is, we would like to see a federal assessment on this. It should actually be both a federal and a provincial assessment, because they both have different jurisdictions.
To me, it sounds reasonable, but again, receiving this so late, it makes perfect sense to me what you're saying, and I like the idea of the due diligence and doing the best possible assessment based upon input. So I would like to see that go forward myself.
I can advise, and I know that Councillor Beaver also mentioned it to council, that the Premier recently partnered with the Prime Minister in a one project, one process, which would be a combined provincial and federal process, which one would assume would be both robust and streamlined at the same time, which I just don't feel that we necessarily have enough information at this point to make a recommendation around any specific process, that we know that that process is better necessarily. Again, we haven't seen anything going through the one project, one process yet. And to say that we know that the federal process is better, I don't think that that's something.
I'm not saying better. I'm saying it's leaving out jurisdictional content. So for example, if it were only provincial assessment, we would not have be looking at rare and endangered species. We would not be looking at migratory birds. We would not be looking at cumulative effects, which is a massive one. We would not be looking at there's a couple of more I don't know from the top of my head. So by, you know, just by our by nature of the character of our sweet St. Mary's River and where this is, especially in my jurisdiction where the roads will be traveled, if they'll be traveled one of two, three ways. They'll be coming down the number 7 and through Sherbrooke and over across Liscombe over that way and up the whatever that number is, 270 or something like that. Or they'll be going through Caledonia, up through where my jurisdiction is, where the people that I represent are. So that would end up being 100 trucks a day. It would end up being 200 on return trips. And I think it's irresponsible of us to not include or even ask for that. So,
and again, those things are noted in this, and it doesn't require a federal process to be specified in order for that to happen. We have specified, we would ask them to address that. And then maybe there are ways other than trying to specify the assessment process that we could amend the draft document that would comfort council that the specific things you're concerned about are addressed. But I'm again not convinced that those things would not be addressed in the one project, one process approach. That is something that both the federal and the provincial government have partnered on, that is an attempt to do the very best, most modern approach possible. So
would wording like a thorough and complete assessment?
Is there any way that,
without saying federal or broad, but a thorough and complete assessment?
Well, I still would like to have council put the word federal in there, because we do need the federal assessment. I can give you another point if you like. When this legislation was changed, a federal assessment was automatically initiated at 5,000 tons per day. Well, this project's going to have 8,220 tons per day. So automatically a federal assessment was done, was initiated prior to federal to change it. So another reason why we should try to have a federal assessment on this project within the St. Mary's River watershed.
Have we been asked to publish something publicly, like as the municipality, like has somebody came to you, or why have we decided to do this for this specific project? Well, I know this project is unique to some other things that are happening around here, but I'm just wondering the why.
Right, fair enough. So as the municipal leaders in an area where this project has a significant impact, it's my recommendation that it makes sense for the municipality to have a voice on this. And yet at the same time, since I've been here, our first discussion together as a group, and we haven't, you know, enlisted anyone as a consultant to provide any inputs on it. In that duration, not saying we've never, really not trying to say that in any way. I think it is good for the municipality to have a position on it, and just to demonstrate to the residents of the municipality that these concerns are things that the municipality, as the leaders of this local government, want to ensure are reflected in that impact assessment that will be happening at a future time. My hesitancy on assessment is that we haven't done any analysis on that, and specifying a specific federal process is not, it is positioning, and whereas this is not positioning. This is saying these are concerns that we are aware of, that we know are important. And I would say I could read this out loud if you would like, just so that you're aware of what it does say that we want to ensure are addressed, and we could add in further pieces to that. But that it specifically says that council's intent is not to express support for or opposition to the project at this stage, and that putting in a specification around a specific assessment process does take a position regarding the matter. So this is the recommendation that I have. However, another option could be not to have any input submitted on behalf of the municipality in respect of this project. It's a 20-day timeline, and tomorrow is the deadline for
very tight time.
That to be submitted.
Is there any way that we can find more about what the federal assessment would look like?
Not in time for this deadline for tomorrow. The deadline is tomorrow.
Oh.
And just remember, there are many other steps that will happen throughout this process, which will allow, much further analysis to happen.
Part of the federal changes were to make the comment period 20 days, so it just doesn't give people a fair time to read and go through the documentation.
Yeah. I was in and read a lot of them. I got 90 some read. I didn't get the rest of them, but I did get 90. And there's so many different views.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
And the point of it right now doesn't, I commented myself, I submitted it, and I took our CAO's advice that I haven't said that I was for or against it.
Mm-hmm.
I just asked that we have a federal assessment because federal jurisdiction and the items that are on it are so very important to the health of our river that's in front of us, unlike many other places. So I still would like to see us have the word federal assessment in there. It's very important, and it is our responsibility to do that. Has anyone else commented on the page?
I haven't. I went in and read the comments, but I haven't really commented on it. I was looking at everybody else's. I think I did 93 or something.
And I'll be open and honest about it. I mean, my comments there, if people want to go read it. I didn't spend a large amount of time. I didn't feel like I needed to put everything in there that I had to. I kind of just said a quick little blurb. And like, all things considered, there's many questions I do have. I knew kind of putting those questions there that there was kind of other avenues that I could get my questions answered. I just wanted to make my comment out there. I also shared it, and just I encouraged people, no matter which side they fell or if they just had, a comment, to put it in there. I mean, that's what it's for. Another concern I just have with the conclusion is it says at the very end, the long-term interests of the residents of the municipality of the district St. Mary's. Should we be stating, like, this isn't, yes, we are representatives of the residents, but like, this isn't coming directly from the residents. And even though that the points in here, I'm sure, have been circulated within our communities, we didn't have like a direct drop box to say like, what would you like directed? So that I don't really, if I'm being honest, I don't like that comment. I don't like that we're saying interest of the residents, because even though this is for the residents, and I see that, I just don't think that it is our place to be speaking on behalf of them. And I think this is quite, I don't mean this in a bad way, but like a generic question. Like, I think lots of parts have been taken. So if we do end up submitting this, I would like that taken out, because we didn't give our constituents an opportunity to come to us and say, if you are doing this on behalf of,
right.
And I know they have their own time they could do that, but I just don't know.
And I'm fine that way. We did go back to the consultation that did take place in 2019.
Excuse me.
Bless you. And we reviewed that, and we made sure that this did reflect that, but we didn't do a fresh one because we didn't have time. So if we wanted to say the long-term interests of the municipality, like, not trying to say that, or we could add a statement that says, due to timeline or time constraints, we're not able to do a like we anticipate, this is why it says up above, ongoing engagement. You know, we appreciate the opportunity to participate this early stage. We welcome continued engagement. We encourage opportunities for the IAAC to meet with council and the community to explain the process, how public input will be considered. So we're trying to ensure that there's going to be lots of consultation. But I mean, however.
Put a period after words economic development.
Yep. Or, but I feel like long term is important because it is like we want the benefits.
This is an initial statement. It's not.
It's like true.
A,
it's true.
Not like a policy framework guideline.
The federal assessment, I take it, would be more detailed.
Very much more detailed. And there's two different jurisdictions. They cover different things.
So why wouldn't that be in the best interest of our municipality if it was a more detailed assessment?
In my opinion, it is.
Yeah, that's what I'm putting out there. Why wouldn't it be a more complete assessment? Right?
Why would the premier and the prime minister have just recently agreed to create a new process called the One Project, One Process?
We want to get into that.
Well, all I'm saying is that I don't know if council wants to weigh in on a process when.
I do want to weigh in on the process. That's what we're doing.
Right. But we haven't had the opportunity to provide some information on all the various different possible processes to allow council to make an informed decision to recommend one process versus another. I realize you may have, but I haven't had the opportunity to share that information with all of council to allow them to understand the implications of making that recommendation. So in my view, it would be better to stay silent on that matter at this point.
Do we have an opportunity at some point to voice that opinion? If
there are many more steps in this process, and so perhaps we could provide some.
Except for the One Project, One Review, that has made legislative changes so that, well, obviously in our country right now, we want to economic development. That's, you know, we have nation building projects right across the board. I would argue this is not a nation building project, and that's why things have been fast tracked and sped through the process and trying to give it one review for one project, which pushes it to the provincial, less robust. It's a simple fact. If we decide as municipal leaders right now that we don't want to have the federal assessment, we don't even want to speak up on behalf of it, then I don't think we're doing our community and the people that we represent justice, and the river that we have up here too. And I would argue that we're not saying that we're for or against it by simply asking that we have a federal assessment on it at all. I think we're just doing it's our responsibility, if you ask me, to do that.
It's a position. That is taking a position. So I just need council to understand that that will be viewed as taking a position. So if council wants to take a position on this, then you're.
Again, Leslie, if we don't and we go past the second stage and we don't have a federal assessment, all of that jurisdiction is gone. So then it's a provincial assessment only. And the roads, all the transport routes, none of that is within the jurisdiction of, none of it is federally assessed. So again, I disagree with you. So let's just have a vote on adding my amendment or not. I'm for sending the letter as is, just with that one small amendment.
I would rather, if I'm voting to send this on behalf of municipality council, like, I think if we want to submit a comment, I know Montesu, I already did it, but I mean, I think it's up to us. If we're grown-ups, if we want to put a comment in ourselves, we can do that. It is what it is. But I would like to keep it pretty broad and generic if we are sending it on behalf of municipality council, because again, not that I'm saying we're picking sides, and I don't think what you're saying is picking sides, but if we are representing the municipality, I think it just needs to be like some questions, nothing anymore, could even maybe less. Just, that's my opinion.
I feel strongly about the river too, and I know what our CAO is saying, taking a position, but I find that the river and protecting the river is paramount. I agree with Scott.
You?
I would just like to know more about this because I'm just getting this and I have no idea about federal, provincial assessments. I'm trying to read it and read up on it, but I don't know what the federal assessment would do for the municipality. Like, I'd like to have more information. And if it's due tomorrow, that's not enough time for me just to find out more information on it. We had had it sooner.
Gordon?
I only get to break ties.
It's 2-1, I think.
Well, let's. Scott has a recommendation. Does somebody want to second it?
I'll second.
And all those in favor of Councillor Beaver's addition to the couple sentences addition?
Aye.
Nay. Thanks, guys. I don't see it as taking a position. I think asking for a robust assessment is not outside the bounds of taking a side one way or the other. It's asking for information. So I'm going to go with. As long as we word it as we're just asking for information.
Yeah, just please provide the wording to me specifically.
Yeah, information only. Right? For now, till we get
through. And
I would be okay if we could find just information.
Maybe I'm saying that, but if Les is not writing it, if Scott's writing it, are we going to get to approve that? Or is that now just going right in the document?
I read it twice. I can read it again.
That wording should be in the motion just as.
Yeah.
I need the wording in the motion.
Yeah.
Can we read it again?
Yes, please.
And I don't have my glasses, so.
Oh, they're on your head. No, they're not. Do you want my glasses or readers?
Oh, I got it. So in the last paragraph,
the last
summary.
Yeah, I get there.
We add, based on the points raised above and the potential for interaction with federally managed species, we urge IAC to consider a formal federal assessment.
Did Janelle get all that wording?
Do we need to mention about species though?
It's already in here, isn't it?
Once the motion's on the floor, the clerk should read it back so the council fully understands the exact motion.
Under environmental protection, it already mentions the species.
You can take the word species out of that.
Just because it already, the only reason I'm saying that is because it's already like, we don't want to add any more like jumbo to it. It's because it's already saying.
So,
but she, you already said it, so she has to say.
Janelle needs to read it back.
Yeah. In the last paragraph, based on the points raised above and the potential for interaction with federal managed species, we urge the IAAC to consider a formal federal assessment.
You'll have to send that to me tonight.
Now we can.
Yeah, you should.
Can we? Would you have any objections to amending it to, in regards to the points raised above? And we recommend or we urge the. We urge IAAC to consider a formal federal assessment without mentioning the species, because we didn't mention the species.
That's fine.
So what words am I removing?
Take out and potential for inner, no.
The species part.
The potential for interaction with federally banded species out.
So based on the points raised above,
We urge.
Yeah.
Could we, instead of saying urge, could it, that like, I feel like
we urge,
right, on instead of urge, recommend?
Yeah, based on the points raised above, we urge the IAAC to consider a formal federal assessment.
Would it be urge or recommend that the I?
Either word is
the same. Either word? I'd say recommend sounds better.
Urge sounds better, but recommend is fine.
Recommend.
So based on the points raised above,
we
recommend the IAAC to consider a formal federal assessment.
Correct.
Is that correct, the motion on the floor that's been first and seconded?
Yes.
Yes.
Do we have to revote?
Yeah, we have to revote on the...
on those exact words.
The rewording. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Nay. Opposed.
That wording, I say aye.
Okay.
Who first and seconded?
And Scott and Councilor Beaver.
And he seconded the amendment, but I don't know who moved the actual motion.
I'll move it.
Yep. Well, if you want to get back to it,
yeah, it goes.
Originally, I think it was the two of you.
Who was it? Scott and Dana moved the amendment, but I don't know who actually moved the actual.
The last one.
The last. Motion to submit the
letter.
Document. Like, oh, maybe you've now moved, amended.
We've done the wording. Who wants to send
it in, and who wants to second that?
Did we also, in saying that amendment, did that also take out the residents?
Yes.
Or
that
didn't need to be voted on, or what?
Right, the residents.
I do not want that sent with. It's stating residents as municipality. It can say the municipality, but I just don't think it's
right. So I feel for clarity, it might be good to have one final recommendation from council to first submit the letter with the following amendments. Removal of the word residents within the last sentence. And also to add into the conclusion part that based on the points raised above, we recommend the IAAC to consider a formal federal assessment.
What words did you remove, though? Like, is it perfectly clear what words are removed?
Yeah, so we're removing the words long-term interests of residents. So it would end at responsible economic development. That's
and there would be a word and would need to be added in, I think.
Yeah. And then that caps off that sentence, yeah, and then add in that sentence.
And responsible economic development, yeah. Period.
End it at all.
Is everybody clear? So yeah. That's submitting the letter with removing that last part about the residents,
mm-hmm.
And then adding in that line to recommend IAAC to consider formal federal assessment.
I'll move to approve.
Second.
So, favor?
Aye.
Now.
Recommendation is approved. Thank you. So just need to count it off.
Yeah. All those recommendations, we did something with being the end of the agenda and it being 18:04 up 6:04 p.m. Meeting is adjourned.